There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Her friends, family, none of them has seen her face or talked to her in over a month. The way she types is completely different. She says she's angry at the family, and he has told her before, I'm going to get your ass, and nobody's ever going to find you.
What's your concern?
That he killed her.
Isn't it infuriating when the police just don't seem to take people seriously, and yet the truth is, those individuals who are talking about somebody who's a potential victim know them personally, relate to them personally, spend time with them personally. So of course, when suddenly they stop responding to them or the responses don't sound like they're from them, you're gonna have to take them seriously. We don't listen to people enough, and often this leads to terrible consequences, and this case 100% highlights them. Like I said, today's case is frustrating because when you will see the footage of the body cam, you will notice that these things are not being taken seriously. And when you have the daughter of the victim literally explaining very clearly why she's deeply concerned and what she thinks has happened to her mother, you do have to start saying to yourself, is it always the case that when somebody has presented with a mental illness at times, which in this case, the victim certainly did, that somehow this diminishes the involvement of the authorities because they believe, oh, well, she's just mentally ill, as if that's a legitimate reason not to do a thorough investigation. Let's go back to the actual case itself. Robin Freitag's daughter, Kim, that's who you saw at the head of this, who's talking about the fact that she's deeply concerned about her mum. She basically realises that she hasn't heard from her mum for several weeks, and she just knew something wasn't right. That deep, gut-wrenching feeling that something bad has happened. We're talking about a mother who would usually call her daughter often, and the wider family had good contact with her, so suddenly this is extreme radio silence. And this led to Kim actually turning up at the home, speaking to the police, hoping they're going to share her concern. But I'm going to be honest, it comes down to the fact that they just brushed those concerns aside. And bear in mind, very frustratingly, this relationship that Kim is concerned about regarding her mother and the perpetrator in this case, this is one that's been abusive in the past. So he's been an allegedly violent partner. There's been a restraining order that should have offered her protection, but how often do we talk about these having absolutely no use in reality? But even though all of those are concerns and are realities, her disappearance isn't actually treated with any urgency. So she just vanishes essentially off the face of the earth and therefore gets left to Kim, her daughter, to do what absolutely no daughter should ever have to do, and to personally go out and search for her missing mother. Now, we understand that if you had a missing person in your family, you would be out there doing it, but with the support of the actual authorities who can help give those resources to you to make sure that the person that you love is found in whatever state that they are found. So this case highlights not only the horror of domestic abuse, but also the catastrophic consequences when those in positions of authority fail to act in time. Because Martha Robin Freitag, she was a woman who deserved to be heard, and she deserved to be believed, and my God, she deserved to be protected. And I'm giving volume to this case because I can't believe it happened in 2018 and we didn't hear a great deal more about it. But maybe it's because people don't like it when the authorities don't act in accordance with what we would wish for them to act, and therefore the cases don't get the notoriety they certainly deserve. Let's talk about Martha Robin Freitag. Now, she went by her middle name, Robin. She was born on the 15th of September, so that's 1964. And she grew up as a Jehovah's Witness. I'm sure that the vast majority of you know what Jehovah's Witnesses are, but essentially, if you don't, they are very devout individuals. They don't celebrate birthdays or Christmas. They often don't cut their hair if they're a female. They believe that men are the head of the household. I could go on and on and on. Some people consider Jehovah's Witnesses being quite cult-like. Others think it's their salvation. I have no opinion aside from the fact that I believe that when it comes down to faith, having faith is better than not having faith personally. But again, I respect everybody's point of view. But there is quite a lot of expectation when you're a Jehovah's Witness. You are expected to be devout and you are expected to stay away from drinking and drugs and all the things that would make you a God-fearing person. So she was somebody who'd grown up as a Jehovah's Witness, studied the Bible on Sundays with other believers. And obviously the other thing that they're meant to do is to spread witness to the world. So go out and actually talk to other individuals to try to bring them, shall we say, to God and bring them into the fold. She was apparently a really clever woman. She had previously been a member of Mensa. I once did one of the tests for Mensa. Let's just say there was no way I would ever be able to achieve getting in there. Literally, I don't understand most of the patterns that they put in front of my face. I'm sure many of you will actually acknowledge and agree with me that it's very, very hard. And I'm not sure it actually represents real intelligence. But whatever, maybe I'm just bitter because I probably couldn't even get through the first round. But she's obviously bright. She's very kind. She's very generous. And her cousin actually described her as very loving. She was always smiling. She was someone that would definitely give you the shirt off her back if it was needed. She was somebody who would give away her last dollar if somebody required it. So she's obviously a deeply compassionate individual. But also, I think if you think about that mindset, somebody who is just willing to give you the shirt off their back, willing to give you their last penny. What we also have to know is there's a vulnerability there. And this is not me being critical whatsoever of Robin. Quite the contrary. She is a lovely human being. And if we all acted that way, our world would be the best world it could possibly be. But I'm saying that if you have that nature, if you're a pleaser, if you go out of your way for other people, you bet your bottom dollar that predators will sniff you out and try to exploit you because they see your compassion as weakness. They see your generosity as stupidness and they want to take it from you. And they do that. So it's always one of those threads of vulnerability that runs through the core of human beings that are wonderful because it's hard to say no when you're a really nice person. Robin was also apparently really creative. She was apparently always making things like curtains and painting her home, so very skilled. She also had been diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia. Now, they don't diagnose people with paranoid schizophrenia anymore, but they used to. So she will have been diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia, which she took medication for. So schizophrenia, which is the umbrella it would come under, it's a mental health condition. And the best way for me to describe it is it's a condition that disrupts different areas of your brain. And the condition will basically typically affect your thinking abilities, memories, senses. People with schizophrenia can commonly struggle to tell what's real and what isn't. So they'll go through periods of hallucinations and delusions. They'll struggle with disorganized thinking. And the reason that somebody would use the term paranoid schizophrenia is because they used to separate it because people with schizophrenia don't always have paranoia. But with a particular subtype of it, they will have these grave paranoid periods where they believe that the world is against them. Maybe people are listening to their thoughts. They'll go through auditory, visual, and scent hallucinations. So it's a really problematic illness to have to manage, but you can manage it. And with the right treatment, certainly people do. And that would usually mean that if you were on treatment, you'd also get monitored and followed up quite regularly by medical professionals because of this. But like I said, aside from her mental illness, she has a full life and she's obviously an active human being. She had a daughter, Kim. Kim lived in Cherga Falls and she also had a grandson who she had a trampoline and a tree fort for in her back garden. So she obviously loves her family deeply. Now in 2002, she begins dating a guy called David Callahan. And they obviously stay together for a long time because in 2014, the couple move into a home on Crow Street in Akron, Ohio. And this is a house that Callahan's sister Pam owned. Now, bear in mind, Robin is the one that would make the rent payments. And although the relationship between Callahan and his sister Pam were really problematic, it was a very strained relationship, Pam was incredibly close to Robin, which again speaks volumes, doesn't it? Because usually if there is a relationship and you are connected to the partner's family, if the partner isn't really relating to that wider family effectively, maybe there's been some kind of challenges, some breakdown, you would tend to stick on the side of your partner because that family will often not retain that relationship with you because you are kind of not a primary connection. But it seems like Robin was absolutely embraced by Pam. So again, demonstrates just what a lovely human being she is. Now, they also had as a couple a black Labrador called Sammy. Now, what I would tell you is, for many years, there isn't a lot of information that I can discuss about the relationship between Robin and David, because there's no massive evidence to say it was horrendously toxic initially or for those early years. But again, I always say this, you can't really mark your relationship as far as what it's truly like for at least 5 years.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Because people behave really well for a period of time. Abusers can mask for a very long period of time. And also, abusers have specific triggers. So if things are going really well in their life for a period of time and stress isn't very high, you might see certain elements of their predatorial connection, but you won't necessarily see the big red flags until a stressor occurs. They lose a job, they start drinking alcohol, and so on and so forth. At that point, they can start to have an amplification of those negative traits. So it doesn't always come clear early on in relationships that you've married or met or in a relationship with some kind of perpetrator. What we do know is they were together for 16 years, but it seems as if there is a toxicity that starts to grow. The relationship becomes on again, off again. They start having numerous domestic disputes and some even involve the police. And I think that when the police are getting involved in your relationship, you probably should call time on it, genuinely, because if you're getting to a point where you literally need the authorities to intervene, that speaks volumes about how negative it's become. And the problem is, in relationships, we go through incremental changes and shifts. So most of us can relate to this, unless you happen to be one of those unbelievably lucky people, and you're out there, I know that you're going to be watching now going, I'm one of those people, who's managed to meet somebody so early on in your life, say 15, 16, 17, and you stayed the course with them and it's been a good relationship. You can't relate to the kind of issues that come up in general experiences because you're very fortunate. But for most people, you'll note incremental shifts and changes in your relationships. And as it comes to a breakdown of a relationship, it's really challenging because you don't know quite how to gauge where you are on that spectrum. You've got so used to the shifting stance. Got so used to not being able to see the wood for the trees that it's challenging to imagine, is my relationship truly over? Or is this just, again, one of those situations where we can manage through it? And even when they get to the extremes, when you're calling the police, you're thinking, well, it never used to be like this. And you're thinking back to the days where you might have had domestic bliss or the honeymoon period. And that really does cloud your perspective and cause issues, which is why people stay in really fundamentally dangerous relationships, because it wasn't always that way. But if you have got to a point where you are calling the police or where you're constantly breaking up, it's speaking of a narrative within your relationship where the story has come to its conclusion and it's time to get out, no matter how challenging it is. Now, in April 2017, a crisis intervention team actually go and do a well check on Robin. When they arrive, Robin actually tells them that she's been sexually assaulted by Callahan, which is horrific. And what has he done in the interim of this? Is he facing the consequences? Is he accepting what he's done is terrible? Has he left because he's scared? No, he's hidden away in a bedroom upstairs and locked the door. And we are talking about a grown man here, not a 13-year-old child. But that's the way he's responded, that's the way he's reacted. And it's interesting to me that he hasn't left the scene, because that indicates that whilst he knows he's done something wrong, that's why he's hidden, he doesn't really feel any guilt for it. He probably sees her as his property.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. What's going on?
Huh? Did you call us?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
What's going on?
I'm working in the Marine States. We had 14 months ago. Statute of limitation sodomy is 10 years, right?
So you want to restate something you already said, and they're already investigating it, and you're just telling us about it again? Is that correct?
Well, I was an investigator. All I know is I got a restraining order from them, and I can wait for her to get some mental help. She's supposed to be going down the first path. First of all, it's not supposed to be explored at all.
You come out because you guys were mad at me, right?
I got a restraining order against him, and then there's I don't know. What are you doing over here?
I'm talking to you.
Okay, why are you over here like that?
Because I want to be.
Okay. Well, I'll talk to the guy downtown.
Okay.
Perpetrators often do see their victims as their property. In fact, in general relationships, a lot of people can relate to that anyway. You kind of see your partner as yours, but just put that on steroids for the kind of attitude these kind of predators have towards their victims. Now, Robin at this point informs them that she'd be really concerned that he might harm himself. So what are we seeing there? The psychology of emotional blackmail, the psychology of emotional distress caused by a perpetrator to a victim, where they actually feel they have to protect the person who's harmed them. Time and time again, this happens. And that is that conflict when you care for someone deeply, but when they hurt you and you just have this sense of, I don't know how to deal with this situation, in the end, leaving you trapped in these horrible relationships. Now, the police officers, they basically try to talk to Callahan. He doesn't give them any response. At this point, they actually break the door down. Now, as they do that, they observe him climbing out of the window, jumping down to the grass below, and fleeing. Again, just like somebody who's innocent would do. Now, bear in mind, despite the accusation of sexual assault, she doesn't actually go ahead and press charges, and this is so common. It is just so distressing to think about women and men at times who are in these horrible situations and who really should be protecting their own needs and should be accepting that they are a victim and that they've done nothing wrong and they don't deserve what's happened to them. Instead, because it's all jumbled up with the whole of their relationship and because they have positive feelings towards this individual who's done incredibly negative things to them, it blurs the lines, and the idea of going through and pressing charges and actually seeing that person brought to justice as they should bring them to justice for is just too much to do. And if you think about it like this, when it comes down to sexual violation, if somebody sexually violates you and you're walking down the street and this stranger does that, I know that many people don't report it. For the most part, I would imagine that because of this area that we explore together, you would absolutely think, I'm going to speak to the authorities because this horrendous thing has happened to me. And that's exactly as it is, that this horrendous thing has happened to you. You didn't do anything to invite it. You didn't deserve it. And some absolute violent perpetrator has attacked you and violated you. Think about it in this context, because I know that sometimes people listen to my channel who actually are in this situation. If you would do that for a stranger, somebody that you don't know, you've never had a day of connection with them, you would do it because you understood absolutely that they were completely wrong on every level, and rightly so. When it comes down to your personal relationship, if somebody that's meant to care for you, if somebody that's spent their life with you at times, years of their life with you, if they can do it to you, when they know the level of harm that could cause you, well, it's worse. But people think to themselves, no, I've had intimacy with this person before. I have had good times with them before. And so they mitigate the actions as opposed to see that that's an aggravating factor. If the person that you're meant to be able to trust most in the world does this to you, how reprehensible are they? That's how you should view this kind of action. Now, November 2017, Robin actually made the 911 call again, informing the police that she has yet again been sexually assaulted by Callahan. She says to them that he told her to make some toast for him, and then when she brings it to him, he threatens to kill her and carries out the sexual assault. So you're talking about a man who is just treating her as if she is some kind of slave in this situation, and he can take what he wants from her. He can demand toast, demand that she serves him, and then when she doesn't want to have sex with him, well, that's not going to be acceptable. He's going to take it anyway. Now, between November 2017 and mid-2018, crisis intervention teams were actually said to have dropped by the house five or six further times. So we are talking about a period of turmoil here, aren't we? We're talking about an amplification of negativity in this relationship, and we're talking therefore about risk factors rising. Now, not a lot comes from those visits. However, on some of the visits, the door was locked and the team did not gain access. However, on other occasions, the team were allowed inside and they decided that nothing seemed amiss. But we always know that it's very, very normal for victims to mask that everything's okay and for perpetrators to mask that they're a really nice person, even when they're a monster beneath it. Now, at some point around this period, Robin goes ahead and obtains a restraining order against Callahan. They separate, and that should mean that Callahan removes himself from the home. But he doesn't. Of course he doesn't. He doesn't care about Robin's needs. He doesn't care about the fact that she's got a restraining order. No, he says, I've got nowhere else to go, so he stays. Now again, the reality here is she had a restraining order. She could have had him thrown out. He should have left. He could have been arrested. She doesn't do that. Why? Because she feels guilty. Why? Because he's clearly made her feel that level of guilt. And he's somebody who will no doubt have blamed her for all of what's happened in their situation. So it will all be her fault that he's ended up feeling so upset. It's all her fault that he's been violent towards her. It's all her fault that he sexually violated her because she wasn't having sex. And you can just hear the excuses that he's got and the projection that he'll use to make Robin feel powerless. And let's be obvious here, it's very difficult for a woman to physically get a man out of a home because they are miles stronger than we are. And you also have to remember that as a God-fearing woman, she believes in forgiveness, and all of these things that should work positively for her work against her in this situation. Now we get to August 6, 2018. The police at this point are called to Robin's home. And the reason for that is she tells them that she wants to reinstate something that happened 14 months ago. This is referring, by the way, to the rape and the sodomy that she had suffered at this monster's hands. And the police, they leave without basically achieving anything. And I'll be honest with you, I find them really dismissive. When I've watched footage of these situations playing out, when I'm watching the way that they're responding to her, they just don't seem interested. In fact, I'd say they almost come across as undermining what she's saying. So you're telling us about it again? What does that even mean? So you're telling us about it again? Okay. Well, yeah. Maybe it's really important that you listen to a sexual assault victim's story and you meet it with empathy.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey. And compassion. Someone's telling you something with courage. It's monumental to do that. To just be kind of dismissive or ambivalent in accepting that kind of information, it's really damaging. And it can be the difference between somebody as a victim going through with a prosecution and somebody as a victim just giving it up. And they're really clearly happy to leave without any resolution. I don't even really think they were trying to understand what she was saying at all. And that means that they have given her a very clear message. You're not that important. We don't really care. Maybe you should just keep it to yourself. And the devastating thing is that we're talking about somebody's death, and those chain of causation pieces matter. It's the breadcrumb trail of how did this end up happening and could it have been prevented? And of course, if the authorities took action according to the gravity and severity of what's been reported, it's likely that this wouldn't happen. Now we get to early September, and this is when the crux of the case comes to light, because Robin's daughter is basically telling the police that She's missing. She's disappeared. She hasn't heard from her mum since the end of July. She's really worried at this point because she couldn't get in contact with her. No one had answered when she'd been round to the house. And this is so atypical from her normal behaviour. Also, when she'd asked around, none of her wider family, none of her wider friends had heard anything from her since around the time that she had noticed the silence as well.
Make an official missing persons here.
Okay.
I've talked to so many officers, everybody she knows, her friends, family, none of them has seen her face or talked to her in over a month. There's a messages yesterday. A message was sent to her brother saying, oh, her phone can get messages. No calls, though. It won't load minutes.
Yeah.
So I was sending her messages from her mother's phone saying, this is your daughter. I want to know where you're at. Oh, I'm at the Kingdom Hall in Kent with friends. I said, okay, stay there. I'm coming right now. Oh, I'm not there. You don't know where I am. Well, you just said you were there. Where are you?
She actually told officers that Callahan was abusive and had also made death threats against her mother that she took really seriously. Now, the police obviously have to take action. They do go to Robin's home, but they're unable to locate her there and they can't get into the house at this point. But even though no one's answering the door, they can clearly hear that there is noise from inside it, which, I don't know about you, I'd be really concerned about. You're being told that this situation is unfolding where she hasn't been seen. You're knocking on the door trying to get access. No one's answering, but clearly there's somebody inside. And they, therefore, should have some thoughts about, well, why isn't this person answering? Could they be unwell? Could that be why there's been no connection with the family? Could they be injured? And even worse, could somebody else be inside and this person isn't allowing them to answer the door? All of these could be concerns before you start thinking about the worst case scenario full stop. But no, they tell Kim that it's not at the heightened level of urgency where they needed to force entry to the house, which makes no sense at all. Bearing in mind, this is her daughter who's close to her asking these questions. Also, bizarrely, the officers told Kim that they didn't think a missing person report was necessary. I kid you not. Do you not think that I should maybe make a missing person report just on the basis that my mum's missing? No. No, you shouldn't do that. But she's missing. Yeah, we're just saying you shouldn't probably file a missing persons report. What's a missing persons report for? It's for missing people. Is my mother missing? We're saying not urgently. I'm urgently thinking she's missing. We're saying, is she really missing? Is she fine? Is she ignoring you? Is she in the house? Is she possibly missing? But maybe if she's possibly missing, it's not urgently missing. When will it be urgently missing? Well, I don't know, when we decide, maybe it's more urgent, but we're just going to go and get a donut now. Honestly, I kid you not. And that is devastating for Kim and also with respect for Robin, because it shows a lack of care, a lack of urgency, a lack of concern. And when does it become urgent that somebody is missing? Because I would say it's pretty urgent now. So despite the clear worry of her family, despite this being totally unusual behaviour from Robin, the police officers don't think that it's that urgent and clearly don't take her seriously, which they absolutely should have. Now, it's clear that Robin's loved ones are absolutely devoted to her. They carry on searching for her in spite of the fact that the police are being completely lackadaisical regarding a disappearance. So the family are posting on Facebook. I mean, that is one of the great things about social media, isn't it? It's incredible because even though there are some negatives associated with social media, we hear about that all the time. Let's be honest. I mean, the amount of good that plays out because people have access to one another's experiences and can support and share, it makes such a difference in these kind of cases. They're putting up missing posters in her neighborhood. These read things like, have you seen her? Please help us find Robin. And Kim, God love that daughter. God love that woman. She actually goes so far as to basically launch her own investigation. She actually finds a place where Callahan had been working recently. She wanted to track where he'd been, what his movements were. She also calls the police. She asks them, can you go to this place where he's working? Can you go and speak to him there? Because obviously he's just not providing any information to the police. Even though there's been noises in the home, there's no evidence at that point, as far as they're concerned, that Robin's disappeared or that he's present at the address. Even though, like I said, they could literally hear someone at the address. And so she's desperately trying to get them to make a connection with Callahan so they can just ask him some very obvious questions. Now, they do that, but he wasn't there and nothing came of that. Obviously, they're still not at that stage where they're thinking, oh, let's be a bit urgent about this missing person, because they've decided, really, there's no problem. There's no case to answer in this moment, which is dreadful. Now, on September the 5th, 2018, Kim starts getting messages from Robin's phone. And you would think, my God, what joy that would be. If your mum is missing and then all of a sudden you see her name pop up on your phone, you're just going to be like, oh my God, thank you, God. It's okay. And these messages basically indicate that Robin's fine, she's with friends. But the thing that Kim recognised immediately was the messages aren't written in a style that her mum would write. So they're really short, they're really abrupt. And Kim just thinks to herself, they've not been written by my mum. These have not been sent by my mum. So again, this really incentivises urgency further. So she goes and speaks to the police. She says, I want you to file an official missing person report. She said that she wants the police, or herself indeed, to break into Robin's house. She's basically saying at the end of the day, if my mum sees that the reason that I broke into her house was because I was worried about her, even if she wants to press charges against me for doing that, I'm okay with it. Just go ahead and break into the home. And Kim actually goes so far as to say, look, I'm worried that Callahan's killed my mum. At the end of the day, she tells the officers he'd made threats in the past and that Robin had literally spoken to members of the family and said, if I come up missing or dead, it's no accident.
Her friends, family, none of them has seen her face or talked to her in over a month. The way she types is completely different. She says she's angry at the family. And he has told her before, I'm going to get your ass and nobody's ever going to find you.
What's your concern?
That he killed her.
I mean, that's a prophecy that none of us want to have, but it's also such a clear message to victims. If you're in a situation where you're with a predator, whether you're with a perpetrator, it doesn't matter how many times they say sorry, it doesn't matter how many times they say they wouldn't go too far to the point where you lost your life. This happens every single week. In the UK, in the United States, in Australia, in South Africa, and so on and so forth, women die at the hands of their perpetrators regularly because they've been told that lie. I would never do that to you. I would never harm you so badly. And because we believe the best in people, even when they're the worst to us, that bias means that we stay in these very unsuitable and inhospitable and very dangerous situations. But the very fact that she's been walking around saying, listen, if I end up dead, it's going to be he who's killed me. I mean, that demonstrates the level of toxicity and the darkness that had entered that relationship, and also how long she was likely poking up with it without actually speaking to people about the danger that she was in. And again, this is very normal. When people end up in these situations where they're beat black and blue, often they will just batten down the hatches, disappear for a few weeks until the bruises have gone, make excuses, and then carry on as if everything's okay because they feel like they're betraying or being disloyal to the predator and perpetrator that they're living with. And so it could well be that she'd been putting up with horrible violence for a period of time, and that's not because the family wouldn't have done something effective to help her, it's that she didn't tell them because she wasn't ready to leave the clutches of that relationship at that time. Like I said, he's already threatened that he'd harm himself if she leaves him, so she could well be absolutely embroiled in that emotional blackmail. Now, the police end up breaking into the home because Kim is very insistent, and there's nothing immediately that suggests foul play, but Kim says, my mum has not been here. There were none of her shoes around. There were no cans of Pepsi, which was apparently a really telling sign that she'd be present. The officers at this point, do they say, oh yeah, well, that makes sense. I mean, you know your mum, you know her movements, you know what would be normal in this situation. No, they just try to say, look, there's no problem. It's all fine. Well, it's not fine, is it? Because my mum isn't here and none of the things that remind me of my mum are here. So it doesn't seem like she's been present here at all for a period of time.
Nobody's been here because the bell's
taken
in. I mean,
oh, he's been here. The question is what he did to her. Right, not a single pair of her shoes anywhere around here.
If I were you, I mean, I'm not telling you how to feel, but this would be a relief. You know, she's not here, but it doesn't look like there's any sign of distress or, you know, all of her stuff's not thrown around.
First sign of distress, really, is the fact that there's no Pepsi in that refrigerator.
So that means she hasn't been staying here?
No, she has not been here. I'm telling you, he has done something to her.
Now, at this point, Kim again pushes for a missing person report, and the officers still seem to think it's unnecessary. It is mind-blowing. We now have a situation where they've broken into a home, and because there isn't a dead body there, or there isn't disarray, they're deciding that everything should be fine. As if your partner, if they've killed you, is not going to keep the home tidy, that somehow there'll be some telling signs like blood splatter on the wall, etc. This is not the way things go in many situations, and it's such a rudimentary approach to take that if you can't see something obvious, then there's nothing to see here. Now, at this point, the Akron Police Department do issue a missing person poster, and it kind of notes on that poster that Robin didn't drive, that she normally travelled by bus, and also noted that she did not currently have a phone or bank card. Again, not urgent. What, this woman's just left, disappeared into the ether, doesn't even have a phone or a bank card, and there's nothing to be concerned about? I mean, that is so telling. For every single one of you listening to this, you know that you would be absolutely panic-stricken if somebody had apparently disappeared and there were no signs of life, i.e. bank card, phone, etc. And I think for Kim, imagine the horror for her, how difficult it is to just know in your gut, to absolutely know in your gut that something bad has happened to your mom, and yet the police still don't seem...
Extra value meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For a limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
To be taking it at all seriously, because you just feel absolutely helpless and powerless. Now, I think that one of the officers got a bad feeling during this situation playing out, the one who'd actually been to the home and kind of had a look around. I just think there was something when he was doing that that just instinctually said, I need to just dig a little bit deeper. So an officer goes back to the house and speaks to Robin's neighbour, which is good. It's great that somebody starts to take this seriously. The neighbour, it turns out, hadn't seen Robin in about 4 weeks. But he had seen Callahan coming and going from the house. So that confirms he was still living there.
How you doing? You been living in the garage here?
My car is living.
Where do you sleep at? Do you know who lives here?
Robin Freitag, I think.
When did you see her last?
About 4 weeks ago.
And you haven't seen her in 4 weeks?
No, last
have you seen him over there?
Oh, yeah.
Now, after finding that piece of information out, fortunately, the officers do start to take it more seriously. So they set up surveillance and they wait for Callahan to be home. They want to talk to him. Bear in mind, they still haven't located him at this point because clearly he's trying to avoid any connection with the authorities. Now, on September the 7th, the police do see Callahan's car outside the home. This means that they can obviously connect with him and they're able to speak with him. Callahan basically told the officer that Robin's probably staying at her boyfriend's house and he'd seen, you know, maybe 5 or 6 days ago. So, oh, nothing to see here, no concerns here. Yeah, she isn't here. She's maybe staying somewhere else. I don't know where, I don't know with who, but probably with a friend. He also said to the officers they'd been split up for around a year and that Robin had been on and off her medication. I mean, just throw that in. You know, she's been on, she's been off her medication. So basically, you know, you can't trust these mentally unwell people, can you? That's the way he's playing it. And actually that can be quite effective because sometimes people do have a bias and a belief that if people are mentally unwell, somehow it's normal for them to just wander off repeatedly and disappear for days on end, which is not contextual at all. But like I said, if you have those stereotypes and those myths in your mind, that can play into people making terrible decisions, such as ignoring the severity and gravity of a case like this.
You get a text on her?
She had, no, she hasn't. And I see her very randomly here. Now, the house is in her name. We got the house 8 years ago.
Right.
I mean, I'm making arrangements to move off slow, but sure, I just don't have the money.
Right.
I mean, I'm trying to. Like I said, I know she's seeing somebody else. Okay.
What's his name?
I don't even know. I've never met him.
Where does he live at?
I don't know. I have no idea.
What does he live in Akron?
I would think so.
You would think so. But you don't know.
No, I don't.
Is she in Ohio?
Yeah, as far as I know, yes.
When's the last time you talked to her?
I don't know, probably say 5-6 days ago, maybe.
Where was that at?
I was here.
She stopped.
Yeah, I just see her in passing. I was leaving.
We'd like to find her right now. She's an entered missing person. So we'd like to...
I didn't know it was all that because, I mean, they've...
You didn't know it was all that?
Well, a missing person because, I mean, her and the family, they've fallen out numerous times. You know, the family has just gone as far as changing their phone numbers and not giving them to them. They've treated her horribly over the years.
Yeah.
And her not talking to them right now doesn't surprise me.
Now, at this point, fortunately, they're able to take Callahan into custody because there's unrelated warrants. They include drug charges, theft and trespassing. So this is great because the police can get him off the streets, essentially, but also not necessarily let him be aware that they are concerned or suspicious about what he might have done to Robin. Now, days go by and there isn't a lot of progress made in the search for Robin. However, one day, a member of Robin's family receives a message and it reads, if he was going to get rid of someone, he would bury them in the backyard. Now, we don't know who sent that, but it sounds very much like someone who knew either that he'd done something bad or maybe had heard some conversation around Robin disappearing that made them suspect something bad could have happened, or could have even been witness to some unusual behaviour, such as somebody digging in the backyard. That could be the reason this person texts. And obviously that's a promising lead. So on September the 15th, 2018, Robin's cousin Angela ends up meeting the police at the house and they begin searching in the back garden. What they notice is there's an ash in the fire pit and there's also some loose dirt around it. Angela also finds some burnt paper and when she looks at it, she's horrified because she finds the word Jehovah typed in it. And she said later on, not everyone would think much of that, but I knew if Robin was alive and well, she would never allow anyone to burn her Bible. Of course she wouldn't. It's absolutely sacrosanct. You cannot do that to your Lord's book. It's as simple as that. And the idea that somebody else has burnt something that would have been so precious to her is just disrespectful beyond measure, and it speaks volumes. At this point, the police begin digging in the fire pit around something that they thought could be a body part. And it's just harrowing, isn't it? The fact that this woman has been missing for at least 4 weeks, and now they're digging around this fire pit that's been there the whole time, and they're literally coming across what they believe are body parts.
Gentlemen?
Hi, Tom. Well,
you tell me.
Well,
good deal. Highly suspicious. Seems like a body part.
Also, they speak to a neighbour who tells the officers that Callahan had literally been burning things in the garden in the middle of the night.
There's a fire pit back there of some sort.
Right.
But yeah, I didn't even know she was missing until a few days ago.
Okay.
I talked to some policeman named McConnell.
Okay,
gave
I know.
Information about what he said.
Okay.
And
I mean, had you noticed any activity by anybody back there in the backyard recently?
Just the guy who lived there.
What was he doing?
In the middle of the night, was burning things because I could smell it. And it wasn't unusual because they had fire with it all the time.
What was the last time you saw her, heard her smelling burning something?
Last time I saw her was August 6th.
Right.
And like 2 or 3 days later, we spent 2 days burning something. I thought it was black close to the house because I noticed that I could smell the fire.
Okay.
And there was one day, in the middle of the heat rain, so came walking down the street. And as soon as I hit that empty lot next door, she also owned that.
Yeah.
The horrible stench coming from everywhere. And I thought, it might even crash, they said.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, how long ago was that?
Middle of August.
I mean, just typical. If I'm not out there, 3 a.m., 4 a.m. in the morning, 2 a.m. in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning, and burning, you know, just anything that I can find in my house, I don't know what I'm doing on a general evening. I mean, it just tends to be my normal habits. I mean, literally, if I was watching a neighbour in the early hours burning something, and not just burning something that apparently also smelt awful, I would be on the blower to the police immediately. You would not be able to take me from that situation before I had reported it. It's as simple as that. Nothing could make me go, I just think I'll give that an hour, maybe I'll have a cup of tea. You'd be like, I am going to immediately call because I think something terrible has happened. And even if it was animals they were burning, it still would not be okay. I would want that to get checked out immediately. But again, it speaks to people not wanting to offend and not wanting to get involved. Get involved. Would you want your daughter, your sister, your mother to be murdered and then burnt in the back garden in the early hours of the morning, several nights in a row, No, of course you wouldn't. You'd want some good citizen to pick up the phone and make sure that if something terrible had happened, that person was immediately brought to justice for it. It is really unsettling to me that someone obviously knew or at least suspected what Callahan had done. And yeah, it's good that they did the right thing and passed the information on, but it's all very mysterious, isn't it? And if I had to hazard a guess, I would imagine that Callahan confided to a family member and that family member got burdened with guilt and that's why that text message was sent. I can only speculate that's the case, but I imagine it is. Now, Kim ends up arriving at the scene and Robin's family, they're waiting whilst the excavation's carried out, so it's horrific for them. Just imagine that situation psychologically, emotionally. You're just literally there to wait to see whether the worst fear that you had is confirmed. And the frustration that you must feel, that this has been going on for a long period of time and you've been desperately trying to inform the police something terrible had happened and they hadn't acted until this point. Now the body under the fire pit is, of course, confirmed to be Robin. Of course it is. She's wrapped in plastic and a bedsheet. She had a rope around her neck and she had injuries that were consistent with blunt force trauma. It was also found that Robin had been murdered at 2:30 a.m. on August the 6th, 2018. And the cause of death was not made public. And it was actually not certain how long she'd been in the fire pit for. How horrific. August the 6th, by the way, was the day when there was literal body cam footage where Robin had called the police, but where they were unhelpful and dismissive of her. How horrific. The day that she literally calls for help, she's ignored, and then she ends up with a rope around her neck, blunt force injuries, and burnt. How terrifying. And what an absolute injustice that she didn't get the help she deserved. It's heartbreaking to think about how things could have been so different if they'd just taken her seriously. Now, Callahan is already in custody at this point because obviously they've brought him in on those unrelated charges. So this is when he gets interviewed by the police. Very convenient that he's already there. And what does he say? Well, he says, oh yeah, I've last spoke to Robin on the phone on the 3rd or 4th of August. And you know what? She actually has gone to Florida for a couple of weeks to see her dad who's unwell.
So when was the last time you actually talked to her?
Beginning last month.
In August?
She said she told me she was going to Florida for a couple weeks.
You talked to her the 3rd or 4th. She told you she was going to Florida?
Yeah, she said her dad, he's supposedly been dying for the last couple years.
She said she was going to
Florida? No, well, I mean, a couple weeks later, she was back at the house once.
Okay.
Bear in mind, we've got it on body cam footage at the house that he'd seen her 5 or 6 days ago. So absolute lies. And what did he expect? Yeah. Like at the end of the day, she's gone to Florida for a few weeks to see her dad. Has she? Yeah, she's there. He's not well. Don't disturb him. It's not well. Okay, we won't do. That's fine. No problem at all. As if they'd be like, it's fine. We won't. It's really good that you, a wanted criminal, is letting us know that the potential victim who we've actually found because she was buried in the backyard under a fire pit. It's really convenient that you're saying that we should just trust that she's in Florida. I mean, this guy is not the brightest, is he? But again, you see, it speaks volumes about this kind of perpetrator because he doesn't really care that she's dead. He doesn't care that he's killed her. He doesn't care at all. He doesn't care. She was his property. He's disposed of his property. Everyone move on. That's the level of compassion these kind of predators have. As far as he's concerned, just move on from this situation, accept that she's in Florida, case closed. That's what he wants to occur. He also said that despite Robin having a temporary 6-month restraining order against him, he had, quote, never raised a hand to her, and she had never had a scratch on her. Of course. I mean, if you are not absolutely going around and giving restraining orders to people who just looked at you in the wrong direction, then you are not doing your job appropriately. Of course, there would be evidence. And even though there was a restraining order against him, bear in mind, he was still staying at the house they shared, but he just said, yeah, because he didn't have anywhere to go. Well, you don't have a choice. You had a restraining order on you. Again, demonstrating that he does not care at all about Robin, her needs, her desires, her requirements. All that matters is what he needs. And all he's doing here is victim blaming. He's saying she's the one with the issues, that she's constantly calling the police out and so on and so forth. So basically, again, just using her as the aggressor and him as the victim. How often do we hear of these individuals doing that? As if somehow they can paint a picture of this individual as being unstable or problematic, and they were just reacting. And that is the absolute toolkit of these kind of killers. Now, Callahan claimed that Robin was also seeing someone new. He didn't know who, and said,
"There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Maybe she's staying with him, you know? Maybe that's where she is. So, wait a minute. Wasn't she somebody that you saw 5 or 6 days ago? Wasn't she somebody who apparently is in Florida looking after her real dad? And, oh, now we've got a whole fantasy boyfriend and she's with him. Absolute lies. And they can see straight through it. He also said that he thought that she'd relapsed and that she was smoking crack again. Yeah, just throw a bit of dependency in that. Oh, she's just such a broken human being. You know, she's got a mental illness. She's got a new boyfriend because, you know, she can't be faithful. And she's constantly calling the police on me because, you know, she's so unstable. And did I also mention that she's got a crack addiction and dependency? She's relapsed. So imagine how awful it's been for me. I'm the victim. It's all about me. If she'd just been a better person, maybe I would have had to kill her. Because basically that's where we're going with this, aren't we? That's where we're going with this. And bear in mind, apparently they did have a crack addiction according to him, but they'd given it up 6 years earlier. But now, of course, he's still on the straight and narrow and she's just become independent again. He also says that he didn't have a good relationship with Robin's daughter, Kim. Of course, because what's he throwing in there? Well, I mean, you can't really trust Kim, can you? I mean, at the end of the day, Kim's not a trustworthy person because she doesn't like me. Yes, I'm imagining that's because Kim's got good taste, you absolute monster. It was also said, apparently, that they would go months on end without speaking to each other, so Kim and he wouldn't even communicate, and this would also be problematic in the relationship with Robin, that Robin wouldn't speak to her daughter either, so just absolute lies. He also has the audacity to say that Kim had been taken away from her mother as a child and that she never let Robin forget that or forgave her for it. Just go through that again. Yeah. She had a really bad relationship with Kim. Kim was taken away from her as a child and she never forgave her for it. She never forgot it, never forgave her. Just really problematic. I think you'll find that literally it's a daughter who's been pursuing this case. Go, no, I'm saying, never forgave her. Owl, never forgot it. But she's literally devoted to never, never, no, absolutely not. I'm saying, she never forgave her. She never forgot it. That was it. She just constantly never forgave her. Owl. It's just, it seems pretty much a forgiving status to be constantly trying to find your mum, being constantly worried about your mum, being devoted to searching for her. At the end of the day, that sounds like literally the opposite of somebody who is not forgiving and has not forgot. Well, that makes sense, but I'm just gonna keep saying not at all forgiving, never forgot. Apart from, obviously, all of her behaviour does sound a little bit like she's totally got over it. But just don't. Did I tell you she's in Florida? She's got a new boyfriend and she's somewhere else as well. Honestly, it drives me crazy when these individuals make this stuff up. But he also throws in the reason that Kim would bother to get in contact with her mum was because she wanted money or something. So it's only when she wants her because she needs something from her. This completely unstable person, apparently. This crack addict, as he's trying to paint. That's what he's saying about Robin. She's a crack addict. She's unstable. God, she's just off sleeping with these guys. But apparently, she's also so responsible that her daughter would regularly, allegedly, come and ask for things like money, because obviously Robin would have it, because she's a diligent human being. It just makes no sense whatsoever. Now, when Kim said that Robin was missing, Callahan said he really didn't think too much about it. Yeah, I just don't think about it. Because apparently at times they've gone long periods without speaking, even though they live in the same house. So even though he's trying to introduce his idea that Kim is overreacting, he's actually introducing a really concerning situation, which is that he's saying it's normal for them to go long periods of time without speaking. Well, if you're in the same house, that would suggest there is some kind of fractious relationship going on, a problematic relationship going on that could absolutely be a tinderbox. It's as simple as that. Now, another thing that he repeatedly does is mention that Robin was schizophrenic. Have I told you that she's schizophrenic? Yeah, like 15 times. Well, just saying, she's schizophrenic. It's a really serious mental illness. Yeah, we know about that. Well, just saying, you know, at the end of the day, can you trust somebody who's mentally ill? Yes, you absolutely can. Can you? Yes, you can. Can you? Yes, you can. She's in Florida. She's got a new mum. That's what I'm saying. Honestly, it really blows my mind when people do this, because as somebody who was very privileged to work in the field of mental health for 2 decades, at the end of the day, I know that there is so much stigma around mental illness. And when people use it to peddle this idea that a human being somehow is deserving of what's happened to them, or contributes to what's happened to them, or isn't someone we should worry about because they happen to have this diagnosis, it is devastating. Because these are human beings of great worth and meaning. And yet here we have someone essentially writing this individual off because they're schizophrenic. And he then says, by the time I figured she was off her medication, it was kind of too late. Too late for what? Too late for what? Even if she was off her medication, which I highly doubt, why would it be too late for anything? She needs to go back on her medication. What is he doing in this moment? He's trying to deflect. He's trying to blame her. She's the problem. He also claimed that he tried to get somebody to come to do a mental health evaluation, because of course now he's posing as a hero. And when somebody did arrive and come to see Robin, she was apparently screaming at them from the porch. But at this point, the person told him that she was not somebody who fit the criteria for an evaluation. Now, even if that were the case, because maybe you were in a situation where you didn't want to escalate, you'd put a call into the hospital if you were that concerned about them. But no, apparently they just were like, oh, well, she doesn't fit the criteria. Just seems bizarre. But again, he's trying to enter this situation where he cared for her, but there's not going to be that much evidence that he cared for her. So he's just saying it so they're aware of it, even though there won't be a trail because, you know, she didn't fit the criteria. He also said to the officers, if she doesn't fit the criteria, who does? Does she have to stab me in my sleep or do something really crazy? So like I said, he's trying to blame her. She's the violent one. She's the deeply problematic one. She's the mentally ill one. Now, he is trying to paint a picture of her being potentially the problem, potentially unstable, and he's doing it at a cost to her reputation because he doesn't care for her one bit. He knows she's dead, but also it speaks of someone who had no respect for her in life either. And as I said, he also focuses on the relationship between Robin and Kim being rocky, because it's about destabilizing the testimony of that particular individual and making them seem less credible. She doesn't. She seems totally credible, Kim. That's what he's trying to do. And bear in mind, she may have schizophrenia. And at times the relationship between Robin and her daughter could have ups and downs. But Callahan is going out of his way to only mention the negative things about her in this interview, which in this instance is absolutely suspicious. Because her daughter clearly talks to Robin enough to realise that she's missing and cares absolutely enough about her to force an investigation into her disappearance. When someone is missing, I don't know why the main focus of his conversation are all the negative things about Kim and Robin. Makes no sense whatsoever. It's all about trying to paint a picture of him as a good human being and to try to absolutely sully the reputation of the woman who is, in fact, at risk because she is currently missing. It just clearly is deeply suspicious. Now, until this point in the interview, they actually haven't revealed to Callahan that they believe he is a suspect. Now, the officer says, I think there's a piece missing here, and I think you'd feel better if you told us what it is. But of course, Callahan denies there's any piece missing. So they then tell him that they know Robin paid the rent on the home, as usual in August. But in September, they believe that it is actually Callahan's handwriting on the money order. So they're kind of saying, you know, this seems a little bit suspicious. And again, he's not giving them anything. But then after the officers try to persuade him to give his side of the story, they kind of basically say, look, show by telling us what happened that you're not a heartless bastard. It's at this point he does in fact confess and admits to murdering Robin. Now bear in mind the fact that they're saying, you know, just tell us what you did and that will prove you're not a heartless bastard. I killed her. You are a absolutely heartless bastard. Let's be honest. That's what they really mean. Oh, prove that you're not really a heartless bastard by telling us what an absolute monster you are. But obviously this impacts him. And I think he probably knows at this point is bang to rights. They've got information. They know that he's done something wrong. And his reason basically for killing her was, you know, she was calling the police for absolutely no reason. Just let that sink in. Calling the police for absolutely no reason. So you killed her. That's why I killed her. So she was literally calling the police and there was no reason she was calling the police at all. None. Which is very frustrating. Could it be that maybe you're a massive perpetrator and she was scared of you? No. There's no reason for her to ring the police at all. Wouldn't it make sense that she was ringing the police because you had some kind of violent capacity? Absolutely under no circumstances. In fact, that was one of the issues that I had. The fact that she was calling the police for absolutely no reason because I wasn't violent at all. So for calling the police for no reason, because you're not violent at all. Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I said. You killed her. That's exactly what I did. Yeah. Yeah. Do you not see the irony in that statement? Absolutely not. Anyway, she's in Florida. Honestly, it's unbelievable that this man thinks that the reason that he had a legitimate reason to kill her, even though he just lost his mind in that moment, because of course he's going to play that card as well. The reality is that he can't see how hypocritical it appears to say that somebody was calling the police and then to say the consequence of that person calling the police was that you killed her. It demonstrates just how toxic and violent the relationship was. The reason she was calling the police was because she was clearly very scared for her life and was clearly being attacked by him. Now, March 27, 2019, Callahan did plead guilty to murder. He also pled guilty to tampering with evidence, abuse of a corpse, and domestic violence. Because, of course, he didn't even allow the family a goodbye because he burnt a body. Now, he was later sentenced to life in prison and absolutely should have been. Prosecutor Sherry Walsh said, David Callahan inflicted torture and an incredible amount of pain on the Freitag family. He murdered Martha Robin Freitag, then buried her and burned all of her possessions. He deserves to spend the rest of his life behind bars. I mean, amen to that. And Callahan's sister Pam gave a very telling statement. She said, how dark do you have to be? How demonized do you have to take your loved one's life like that? And the way she was found, who does that? What part of your soul is gone? How much of your soul is left? And bear in mind, guys, this is someone that was close with Robin, but was actually Callahan's relative. So they cared for Robin more than him, and rightfully so, because she deserved care. You know, quite often in cases like this, you'll find the murderer still being supported by family despite what they've done. And I think that absolutely speaks to the character of both Robin and Callahan. The fact that his own sister is not standing by him just speaks volumes. Pam also said, I'm looking back at text messages thinking, I'm feeling guilty. It wasn't like she would call me up and text me and say that she was being abused. She'd just say there'd been an argument, he's really mad and he's getting in my face. And, you know, I can see why she would feel guilty for not reading into that. But very often you have these conversations with your friends. And that didn't mean necessarily that he was being unbelievably violent or was very dangerous. You can't see these things coming. You can't act on something you don't know is happening. And as humans, I think we do like to blame ourselves because I think we believe that if we can blame ourselves, it gives us a level of control. If I'd done A, then B wouldn't have happened. It's horrible to walk around in a world that feels vulnerable, which it is. But nonetheless, to blame yourself for this situation is wrong. The only person to blame is Callahan. You know, at the end of the day, even in situations where somebody is being abused countlessly for many years, very often people around them don't realise the gravity of it. And also, abusers can strike without any warning signs. And of course, they always put on a convincing mask in front of others. So it's a very big leap for family members who might get texts off Robin saying that she's unhappy or that he's in the face, to actually go from someone arguing and getting in their partner's face to actually murdering them. Now, in 2021, unbelievably, this POS, Callahan, appeals his sentence. Of course he does, because he doesn't want to be in prison, because he doesn't think he's done anything wrong. He actually argued that he was not informed of the maximum penalties for murder if he pleaded guilty. I'm just going to throw it out there. Pretty much, you don't have to be involved in any kind of legal situation to know that life is what you get for murder. I mean, we all know that. If you watch a crime program, you know that. Obviously, it differs in different countries what life means, but certainly in the States, I'm going to throw it out there.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Pretty, pretty long, you know? Like the whole of your life a lot of times. So this appeal is basically arguing that he didn't know the prison sentence that he'd received for murder would be mandatory. You know, didn't realise, hadn't been mentioned. You know, as if the solicitor hadn't mentioned it to him, you know. So you can just imagine what he's trying to say, that he and his defence counsel was sat there and he's like, so how many years am I looking at for this sentence if I plead guilty? Oh, no one can say. Right. So it could be 5 years, possibly. Could be 15 years, maybe. How much longer could it be? No one knows. So there's no kind of situation in court where somebody has gone down for pleading guilty to murder for example, their whole life. I can't say. Right, okay. But you still think I should go for the guilty for murder? Absolutely. It makes sense. I mean, as you're absolutely going to have it explained to you hook, line and sinker what you're going to be looking at. Also, he was apparently annoyed because he hadn't been told he'd have to pay a fine of up to $15,000. He literally burnt his ex-partner after beating her and killing her for daring to call the police on him because he's a horrendous human being, and he's annoyed that they valued $15,000 of what he'd have to pay. I mean, she was priceless. At the end of the day, he's not going to have that money anyway. It's ludicrous. It blows my mind that this guy is so egocentric that this is what he's concerned of. Now, the footage of his pre-sentencing hearing gets reviewed. Of course it does, because they record it all. And guess what? It was found that it was stated that murder came in a sentence of 15 years to life in prison. So he's clearly gone, oh, I'll get the 15 years. Be 15 years. Everyone will understand that she was so frustrating because she kept calling the police on me. So I murdered her. And also tried to get away with murder by burning a body and burying it. Ah, what's not to like? It'll be 15 years. Now, the court did not explicitly state that he would be subject to a fine. I will give him that. But Callahan had signed a written guilty plea and literally ticked a box agreeing to the statement, which read, I understand the above penalties, which included a fine for the count of murder. So what you're seeing there is somebody who just can't even actually be bothered to read this kind of information and just signs it. If only there had been an extra little section that said, if you tick this, you'll be immediately sent to Beelzebub to burn in hell indefinitely. That would have been helpful as well. I didn't see that. Well, you signed it. I didn't see it. Unfortunately, you have sold your soul now. There's nothing we can do. There's no returns and no refunds. However, Callahan also argued that his post-release control period had been sentenced incorrectly. And actually, the court did concede this error, so he was sentenced to 5 years post-relief control when he should have been given a period of up to 3 years of post-relief control. So it was determined at this point that because of that error, he was entitled to a new sentencing hearing limited to the proper imposition of post-relief control. So basically, he could have a whole new hearing just to confirm that he would have 3 years of post-relief control instead of five. What a waste of money. Now, a family member actually started a GoFundMe to raise money for the funeral, and the tribute read, Robin Freitag, age 54, tragically passed away recently. She was a loving mum, grandma, aunt and friend to many. She will be greatly missed by all. This unexpected and senseless loss has put a huge burden on her pregnant daughter, Kim. The family is asking for donations for funeral expenses and travel expenses for immediate out-of-town family. Any amount you are able to donate is greatly appreciated. Thank you. And I think that's the amazing thing about human beings, isn't it? When people donate to these kind of causes, you don't know the person, but you know you can make a difference to that person. You don't have any relationship with the person who's been killed, but you have an empathy and sympathy for that person. It speaks volumes about people like you. And how absolutely devastating for Kim to be pregnant while she's dealing with the stress and this tragedy is beyond heartbreaking. It's a time that she would have wanted her mum there, her needed a mum there. She's probably feeling more vulnerable, but instead, she's literally having to force police to take her mum's disappearance seriously, searching for her missing mother herself, and then having to literally arrange the funeral after discovering she had been murdered. Breathtakingly devastating. And like I said, at a time where she should be celebrating the oncoming arrival of her baby, the grandchild of her mother, instead, she's literally putting her mother in the ground. Now, as I come to the close of this case, I just want to highlight something that's very clear. There were quite severe failings by the police. I do feel, genuinely, the fact that Robin was schizophrenic meant that the police were really happy to write her off. They didn't take her seriously when she called the police around to her house. In the last instance, when officers were, I feel, quite rude to her, they left without doing anything, and then she was murdered by Callahan that very night. They also didn't take her daughter seriously when Kim initially told them that her mother was missing. They didn't file a missing person report when they should have. I feel that Robin was very obviously failed by the police, who should have helped her. Why was Callahan still living with her when she had a restraining order against him? Why was it left up to Robin's daughter, Kim, to investigate the disappearance herself? Don't get me wrong, the police did attend Robin's house often and perform welfare checks when they were asked to, but they seemed quite ill-equipped to actually perform them once they arrived, and they definitely did not take the disappearance seriously. It's a set of highly unfortunate circumstances that I think ultimately cost Robin her life. Am I being too judgmental here? Do you agree with me? Do you feel maybe I'm putting it on the police a little bit too much? Or do you think that on a chain of causation, Robin could be alive today if they had taken her concerns seriously? I feel genuinely Robin was horribly failed in this case. Look after yourself, guys, and make sure if you are living in a home with somebody who treats you badly, that you understand your worth and you get out. Believe me. None of us want to end up like Robin. And unfortunately, too many of us do. Take care. Be safe.
That's it for Bang to Rights today. Join me for the next episode. See you then. Be safe.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.